morning, 7 minutes past 9 o'clock. If you've just joined me, you're listening to the Full English Breakfast Show on Riviera Radio, and it is the Wellbeing Window. Yes, so Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing is with me. We're talking about, are you a love addict? Is love addiction really a thing, or is it a psycho babble, which some of you may think, looking at some of your comments on our Facebook page? So let us know why. Do you confuse sex with love? Do your relationships lack intimacy or quickly become obsessive? If you have a question that you'd like to put to Gavin Sharp, he's going to be with me after this next song until 10 o'clock. It's studio at rivieradio.mc. And this is Alice Morissette, if I can get my teeth in, and her version of Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love.
But that's why birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. In Spain, the best upper sets do it, Lithuanians, and let's do it, let's do it, let's fall in love. The Dutch, you know, to mention the Finns, folks in Siam do it. Think of Siamese twins, some Argentines without means do it. People say in Boston even beans do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Romantic sponges, they say, do it. Oysters down in Oyster Bay do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love.
It's past 9 o'clock, and good morning, Gavin. Well, I spoke to you a bit earlier. You gave us an idea of what we're going to be talking about between now and 10 o'clock. Are you a love addict? So come on then, is love addiction real, or is it a psychobabble? So one of the comments on our Facebook page to your post about what we'll be discussing today was, oh, for God's sake.
Psychobabble, is that what you think of my work? I don't come in here and insult your radio show and mess up all your records. And you know, it's really interesting that you had the response on Facebook, because there's something about this topic that just gets us all going and gets this reaction about, can it really be real? Can something so natural, so healthy, so evolutionary, how can it ever be unhealthy? And as I said to you before the break, even therapists don't completely agree on this. So for me, it's real. The song that you just played by Alanis Morissette, she has gone public with saying that she has suffered from several addictions, and of all the addictions that she suffered from, love addiction was the most painful and the most difficult to recover from. So I believe love addiction is real, and I work with clients and I've helped them recover from love addiction. So love, of course, can be healthy. But love addiction, at the heart of it, is it's a compulsive search for love. Except for the fact that most love addicts are not actually searching for love. They're searching for the high that the feeling of being in love creates. And it usually shows up in two forms. I can either be obsessed with one particular person, and I become infatuated with that one person, or alternatively, I just go into multiple relationships. I'm constantly obsessed with falling in love, looking for the one. And so there are lots of types of love addiction, but that's kind of the two ways that I like to think about how we can recognize love addiction.
Okay, well, just before we move on to how do we know if we're a love addict, whilst you're on the topic of saying comparing love addiction to other addictions, a listener has written in and said, Gavin said that love addiction is harder than other addictions to overcome. I'm curious about that. I've done rehab for drink and drugs. I've often wondered about a love sex. Can he say more? So, and that ends there. Can you say more about how it does compare to other addictions?
Yes, I can, because what we know about all addictions is that they affect a certain part of the brain. When we do brain imaging, and this has been studied by this lady called Helen Fisher, who's a researcher at Kinsey Institute and an anthropologist, and she shows that the same parts of the brain, the nucleus accumbens, lights up when we are addicted to coke, or heroin, or love. So we know that the dopamine rush that we get from being in love exists, and we therefore know that if I stop doing something that I'm addicted to, I will experience distress, I will go into, I'll have withdrawal symptoms. So why is it so serious? Because some love addicts stay in unhealthy relationships because they just can't live without that high. So that can be an abusive relationship. I can be having multiple affairs. I just lose touch with myself because everything becomes very chaotic and very dramatic. So what I would say is, if you think about love addiction as a spectrum, and on one end we're sort of interested in being in love, then it becomes I'm a bit infatuated, and when it really becomes extreme, then I'm actually quite possessive. It's almost self-destructive. So for those of us who are of a certain age, I mean, not you, Sarah, we'll remember a movie called Fatal Attraction. And Glenn Close is, you know, for those of us of a certain age, is the bunny boiler. Because the character is so obsessed with having, I can't remember the part that Michael Douglas plays, that she starts resorting to stalker-type behavior and very obsessive behavior. So you can start to see that there's a difference between I'm infatuated with someone and it's interfering with my daily functioning, it's interfering with my relationships, my sleep, that's not good. And then you're all the way to the end of the spectrum, which is I'm a bunny boiler, and that's also not good.
Okay, so how do you, you just explained it, but how do you recognize it? How do you recognize the difference between maybe somebody who's just a hopeless romantic and falls in love, yes, maybe very easily, yes, maybe with the wrong people, and yes, likes being in love. How do you define the difference between then saying, oh, hold on a minute, this is actually a problem now? I know you mentioned just then in the film the question of maybe having acts where you're stalking, but how do you pass that, cross that line where you go, okay, this might be a problem?
Well, the other reason why it's so difficult and why it's, you know, people like, really, is because actually it's very difficult to notice at first. Because if you think about other addictions, a friend can say, you know what, Sarah, I'm a bit worried because you seem to be drinking a lot. I'm just using as an example. I'm not saying that that's the case. Well, you did stagger.
Who have you been speaking to?
You did stagger when
I'll
you opened the door
after
to me.
The show.
But, you know, with love addiction, it's difficult to spot because there's no visible scars. But we start to think about the fact that, okay, there's a pattern here. And the pattern looks something like this, which is, okay, I'm looking at my past relationships and I seem to be attracted to unavailable people. Or I'm spending a lot of time fantasizing about my partner. I'm doing it to the point being in a relationship is so important to me, I'm neglecting my own self-care because I just want to be in a kind of codependent sense, just completely available for my partner. Love addicts will often ignore the red flags in a relationship. So that the person doesn't respond to texts, or you reach out to them with something vulnerable and they go cold. But the love addict is so wanting to believe that this is the one, that I need to be in love, that someone else would be picking up on the signs of, I don't think this person's available. Love addicts will often be very anxious when they're not with the object of their affection. They feel worthless. And as I said before, they will often be in relationships where they can be abusive, but the fear of rejection and this need to have this high. Remember, I'm addicted to the high of the person or the high of being in love. Just as the coke addict is addicted to the high of the coke, the love addict is addicted to the dopamine rush from being in love. So when we start to look at those signs and we think, yeah, do you know what? There's a pattern here. There is something that I keep repeating. Then I'm wondering if I'm somewhere on this kind of love addiction spectrum.
Okay, so it's not just the not being able to cope with rejection. It's actually, as you say, it goes further than that. So they come to you for therapy. How do you evaluate if they are a love addict? And can it just be that, as you've just said, a person is just deeply in love? And things like when you get butterflies at the beginning of a relationship, is that all normal or is it healthy or is it addictive?
So it's a really good question. So I think it's both, because we all get a bit love addicted when we first meet someone, and we all get infatuated and we have butterflies and we can't really sleep and we find ourselves daydreaming and all of that stuff. And that's healthy, because that's what falling in love, that dopamine rush at the beginning. And the struggle, I think, for love addicts is they don't want to leave that phase behind. That limerence phase, I only want that because I'm getting a high from it. So when that's gone, then I'm really struggling, because I suddenly feel insecure and I feel inadequate. So to the last part of your question, yes, just because someone is infatuated, it could just be that's the part of being in early on in a relationship, nothing wrong with that. When someone comes to therapy, I will often just give them a very basic questionnaire. There's kind of 20, 25 questions, and about the, you know, how do you feel when you're alone? Do you ever get obsessive in relationships? We'll take a bit of a history. And then if we start to see there's a pattern here, and usually you kind of, someone sort of, there's this light bulb moment of, oh gosh, I think my relationships haven't been healthy. Then we start to think about, I wonder if this is, you know, there's something here which is an intimacy disorder, and I think you're having an unhealthy relationship with love.
Okay, so is a love, sorry, maybe I haven't understood here, but is a love addict going to, let's say, that need for the butterflies in the stomach at the beginning of the relationship, and that they eventually go, mm-hmm. Is the love addict going to stay with that person to get that again, or do they not just, is that not just somebody who cheats and goes and with somebody else to have those feelings again?
The latter, what they will do, because those feelings don't last forever. We cannot be in a relationship after somewhere between a few months and 2 to 3 years. I mean, it's going to be different for all of us, mm-hmm. But we all know that mature love isn't infatuation. So we have to be able to cope with that point where, am I with the right person because the butterflies have gone? Or is it just that the love is now maturing and we're entering that stage of kind of more reality? Because when we first meet someone, you know, we put on our best front, and we don't necessarily want them to see all our idiosyncrasies. And then after a while, you know, they come through. That's life. But the love addict isn't able to tolerate, because the dopamine rush starts to go, starts to move towards commitment. It starts to move towards a growth. The love addict will either try to create the intensity. They may start arguments. Do you love me? They might, or they might just run for the door, which is, I need to find the one. It's not here.
Okay, well, that kind of answers well. I'll read the next question out. It says, hi, Sarah and Gavin. Can you tell me, Gavin, if infatuation can ever be love?
I think infatuation becomes love. I think it starts, you know, infatuation has an urgency to it. It's sort of, love is kind of less all-consuming and less reckless. And, you know, you could even say infatuation is delusional. We're in that delusional where our partner can do no wrong. They are amazing. And, you know, there's a quote, there's a very well-known therapist called Eric Fromm, and I love what he says about love. And he says, the difference between immature love and mature love. And he says that immature love is, I love you because I need you. But mature love is, I need you because I love you. So immature love, I love you because I need you. And mature is, I need you because I love you. And I think that maybe helps explain the difference between infatuation and love.
Okay, we'll have one more question just before we take a break. Hello, good morning. I am in a relationship with a woman I love. I flirt a lot with other women and find myself seeking their approval. Sometimes I buy them gifts. I like taking them out for dinner. I seem to easily draw attention from others. Is this a bad thing?
There's not enough information for me to know. You know, I'm not here to make a judgment. What strikes me there is I don't know how healthy the love is. So I think you said I'm in a relationship with a woman I love. Mm-hmm. I'm making an assumption that the person is not being faithful to their partner. And so if that's the case, assuming that they want to be in a monogamous relationship, because, you know, we all choose to want to be monogamous or open, but assuming that they're in a monogamous relationship, I would be curious about what need is getting served by you flirting with other women. And some love addicts need to do that because that's their validation, that's the hit. And actually being fully available, surrendering to their partner is also quite frightening. So they move around a lot, they mistake intensity for intimacy. And this idea that people are just drawn to me, no, you're drawing them in. So I would just be curious about, how available are you for your partner, for the woman you love? Because if you love her, there's a part of you that's taking your relationship, your feelings, outside of your primary relationship. And I'd be curious why, and what happens when all these women flirt with you?
It's the seeking of approval, I guess. Mm-hmm. But do we not all have that in us? Do we not all want to be liked and loved? So where do you draw the line between saying I'm looking for approval and maybe if you take the other side of the coin and he hasn't actually been unfaithful, or but he just likes flirting and or needs that approval, where do you say, well, that's actually going into the danger ground of being a love addict? Or
the fact that I think he's buying them gifts.
Right, okay.
So I think flirting is great, nothing wrong with flirting, I completely agree with you, and it's fun, and we all need to feel, it's quite fun. Gosh, someone at the supermarket just flirted with me. Mm. Not that it's ever happened to me. But and I hang around the supermarket a lot, but sometimes, I think this, I'm buying them gifts, and if your, I don't care if it was the wife or girlfriend, if your partner also doesn't know that, and I suspect they
right,
don't,
yeah,
you've got a secret. Mm. And if we've got secrets, then we're not fully available and intimate with our partners.
Okay, Gavin Sharp, Riviera Wellbeing, we're discussing, are you a love addict? We'll have a break for the news coming up next. Still taking your questions at studio@rivieraradio.mc if you have a question that you'd like to put to Gavin Sharp. You're listening to The Wellbeing Window on Riviera Radio. I'm with Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing. As the first Wednesday of every month, he comes in and we discuss a topic. And this Wednesday is, are you a love addict? Gavin, so we've got quite a few questions to get through in the next 20 minutes. Maybe taking it from this angle, I have a bit of an issue with the fact that there's so much bad news there's going on in the world right now. It's pretty negative, lots of, and that when we can love and maybe are encouraged to love and be loving to one another, we're now being told that you could be a love addict and it's not the right thing. And am I going to die of an overdose from loving too much? That's what I'm asking. And it ties in with a question here that came in, and that's why I also had put this question down earlier on, who says, good morning. Should I tell my 8-year-old daughter to stop watching Disney movies? She wants to fall in love with her Prince Charming. P.S. I would like to find one too. So there you go. Come on.
Right, let's have it. That's giving it to me straight up. I'm not responsible for all the bad news. I just want to say, But you make a very serious point, which is, oh my God, now we've got, can we, you know, not pathologize loving too much? And being in love and falling in love is healthy, and as I said at the outset, it's evolutionary and it's wonderful. And there is part of it that's supposed to be irrational and chaotic and fabulously messy. But, and here's the but, when something becomes unhealthy, when I'm looking outside of myself for someone to fix me, to complete me, when I find emotionally unavailable people, when I become obsessive about the other person, to the point where I'm downplaying my own needs, yes, it has the potential to be self-destructive. Because if I'm not looking after myself, if I'm in a relationship where someone is taking advantage of me because I've overlooked those warning signs, then actually, that's not healthy love. And to your point, I think what we all deserve is to be in a relationship that's based on desire, where the relationship enhances my goals, my sense of value. I fall in love with the person. This, I think, maybe is what I'm trying to say. I fall in love with the person and not the image, and that's reciprocated. Go back to the man who wrote in, he's holding something back from his wife, in which case she doesn't know you completely. So it can't be true love, because there's a part of you that's hidden. There was a client who said to me recently, I've shared 90% of my stuff with my partner. And I said, that's great. Just one observation. Arguably, she's only in love with 90% of you, because there's 10% of you that she doesn't know. And being vulnerable and intimate is, I'm going to allow that person to see all of me and hope that they will love all of me.
Ah, that's another topic. Should we have our own secret gardens or not?
Let's put it down as a topic.
Okay, moving on. I hope that answers your question. They're all anonymous this morning, so I'm not mentioning any names.
Oh, wait a minute. Can I just come back to the... I didn't answer the Disney. What was it she said?
Along the lines of, you know, I was saying about how can it become, if you're loving too much, can you die from loving? Yes, she said, should I tell my 8-year-old daughter to stop watching Disney movies?
Absolutely not. Tell her to enjoy the movies. But when that becomes, it's just at some point when I become an adult, if I am projecting magical qualities, I'm waiting for the man to rescue me, which is kind of what the Disney movies, I think, perpetuate. And we idealize that person who's going to be the all-encompassing, you know, knight in shining armor, they're going to come on the white horse. Arguably, as an adult, because we grow out of that, we're setting ourselves up for failure. But we have to be able to grow out of it. But I would never, ever want to destroy someone's fantastic childhood where we're supposed to fantasize and idealize and be creative.
Oh, you could stick with Dumbo. That's always a safe bet as a Disney film.
What do you think about my ears?
Okay, moving on. Morning, I think I have felt alone for much of my life. Yes, I wanted to find a man to share life with and be happy and not be lonely. Isn't that normal? My therapist, not Gavin, says I meet men who are unavailable and avoidant. I'm starting to understand my possible love addiction. I don't want to be on my own forever. What does Gavin think?
Gavin thinks that it's good that you are exploring this in therapy. And, you know, it's quite moving to have felt alone for much of your life. And for me, that's the work to do in therapy, because that's kind of what is at the heart of love addiction. Love addiction is, on some level, an attempt to satisfy our unmet emotional needs. And if the belief is the reason for being in a relationship is solely to satisfy my unmet emotional needs, I'm probably going to be disappointed. So it sounds like the person's on the right track. They're beginning to understand their relationship with love addiction. And, you know, Carl Jung said, and it's going to be so cliched, but yet true, I cannot love anyone if I hate myself. And so many love addicts come to therapy and the core beliefs is I'm not lovable and I'm not worthy.
And it's back to that wanting to be approved again.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. And one more question here. A few quick questions for Gavin. How successful is Gavin in curing love addiction? What are the worst consequences that he has seen of this addiction? And can Gavin recommend some books for me to read on this topic?
So it was how successful, the worst qualities in books. Okay, so how successful, again, we often get asked this. I don't know that I can give you, or I can't give you a percentage and tell you the X percent of people who come to therapy. What I can say is that people who come to therapy, individual and group therapy, recover from love addiction. I agree with Alanis Morissette when she said it's one of the most painful addictions to overcome. It's something that's somewhere from a few months to a few years, but people who do the work recover and they find themselves in healthy relationships. The worst qualities is I've seen people suicidal because there's just so much nobody, you know, the validation. I don't feel loved. I can't find the one. And, you know, I'm getting older and I see this repeating pattern. So people become seriously depressed. And I've seen someone who was suicidal because she just couldn't overcome the fact that she hadn't met her Prince Charming. And books, I would recommend Facing Love Addiction by Pia Melody. Or there's a book by Brenda Schaefer, which it will come back to me in a minute. I can't remember the name, but if you Google love addiction, I think it's The Difference Between Love and Sex Addiction by Brenda Schaefer. They're two fantastic books on the topic.
Okay. And is there a difference between love and sex addiction then?
Yes, there is a difference. And many people experience both love and sex addiction. That we confuse love and with neediness, or we confuse sexual attraction with the need to rescue or be rescued. And how I would differentiate it is the love addict will use sex to keep their romantic partner, and the sex addict will use love and romance to get the sex. But ultimately, I'll say that again, love addicts will use sex because they believe that's how I'm going to keep the romance going. So again, one of the reasons why it's unhealthy is that, you know, sex should come from a place of self-worth, not in order to keep someone. And the sex addict will use romance, sometimes manipulatively. Lots of love addicts will fall in love with narcissistic and unavailable men. The sex addict will use the wooing and the love and the romance to get the sex. But yes, they do often go together.
And can you be addicted in your marriage relationship to both then if they go together?
Yes, but then I would say you are in an unhealthy relationship. Mm. And I think they do sometimes go together. And I do a lot of work with couples. I sometimes will do a weekend just with a couple and we will unpack all of this. We'll unpack the elements that are compulsive and not healthy. Sometimes those couples will work out that we're in the wrong relationship, but more often than not, they'll just begin to identify where the unmet needs are, and then they work on them in their own therapy.
Okay, and men love addicts as well as women? I mean, is it equal? Do you see just as many men coming to you as women?
Men are... Yes, there are male love addicts. I don't see as many because there is so much shame around love addiction for men. It can be even more severe for men because when men then get rejected by their love, the object of the love affection, men can be violent. It doesn't show up that much in the therapy room. So we don't know as much about male love addiction as we do about female love addiction.
Okay. So, Gavin, just to kind of sum it up, somebody obviously can come to you and get help on this. And when you're treating people with this, it's like a cycle, would you say, similar to maybe when you're treating other people with other addictions? I mean, what are so let's just say somebody's sitting there saying, okay, I can actually recognize myself as a love addict. What are going to be the first steps that you would tell that person to do?
So the first steps is once they've begun to recognize that there's the cycle, I'm getting infatuated, I fall in love, and then once the relationship starts to get a bit moving towards the commitment and the growth, I'm looking for the door. Often they will come to therapy in between relationships. It's the distress, and it's the best time to come to therapy. I've just broken up with someone, I'm on the floor, I'm depressed, and I will usually say, have a period without dating. Have a period where you can do some work on yourself. And all addictions, we talk about triggers. So for the alcoholic, what was it that made you reach for the bottle? I had an argument with my husband, or it's stress, or so we start to look at the triggers, and this is why it's comparable to other addictions. So I've had love addicts saying, okay, I've realized now when I'm a home and it's late at night and I'm in bed, I start to look at my phone and then I start texting like crazy. Or when I go to the gym, I'm looking to pick people up, I'm flirting, I'm trying to get my hit. When I'm stressed, I start thinking about my Mr. Right or Miss Right. So we start to look at what the triggers are. And then if it's about, as I believe it is, satisfying unmet emotional needs, we do some deep work around, so what are those unmet emotional needs? How can we process what you probably didn't get growing up, and how can you get it now as an adult? Because once we begin to complete that cycle, we're ready to be in a healthy relationship. We're ready to start dating again. We are less likely to pick the unavailable partner.
So that is a cure. Now, Gavin, how can people get in contact with you?
Well, as I said earlier, just hang around the supermarkets and I'm there. You can get in contact with me on my website, rivierawellbeing.com. You can email me, gavin@rivierawellbeing.com.
Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing, thank you. What's in store for us and next month?
What did you want to do? The secret garden?
Are you allowed to have your secret garden? See, I think you are. But anyway, no, go on. What have you got lined up for us?
The answer is, I haven't thought about it because next month I'm off. August, I'm not here. So August, I'm not here. So we will brainstorm. Or please write in. I'm always open to ideas if there's a particular topic that listeners would like. Please write in to either to Riviera Radio or to me, and I'm back the first Wednesday in September.
Oh, we'll have a fab holiday. Sorry, I've completely forgotten it was the holidays. Yeah. I don't think I'm allowed to go anywhere.
Absolutely not.
We'll be back in September and we'll keep you posted on what the subject will be. Gavin Sharp, thank you very much. Finally, is a love addict the same thing as this? Addicted to love?
Could well be, but good song.
Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing, thank you.
Thank you.